Welcome to Churches Planting Churches, a podcast on the theology and practice of church planting. I'm your host, Tony Morita. Jesus Christ gave his people a commission. We know it well from Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What a commission, what a promise, what a Savior. Is it any wonder we call this commission great? Consider the alls in the passage. Jesus has all authority. So this commission carries the greatest authority. We are told to make disciples of all nations, so it also includes the greatest mission field. We are told to teach all that he has commanded, so it involves the greatest curriculum. He is with us for all our days, or always, so it contains the greatest assurance. This is a mission great enough to spend the rest of our lives fulfilling. All over the world, we have unreached peoples and nations, people who, without Christ, are headed for destruction. And we, the people of God, have the only message that can rescue them. The great task of making disciples of all nations will not be easy, but Jesus did not promise us ease. What he did promise was to be with us. Christ is present with us as we take the gospel to the nations. On this podcast episode, we have the privilege of hearing from a brother who is church planting in the world's largest unreached nation. Kadem is pastor of Antalya Protestant Church in Antalya, Turkey. He is also the regional director for Acts 29 Turkey. Kadem, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me in the podcast. It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. So let's start off with just a little background. Tell us about yourself. Where did you grow up? How did you come to faith?
Well, I grew up in Ankara, Turkey. Actually, that's not where I was born, but my father was an army officer, so we were all over Turkey in different places, and I kind of born in Balıkesir and then kind of live in Ankara, which is the capital of Turkey, about 6 million of people. It's a large city, and when I was a teenager, my father retired, and then we moved to Antalya, the southern Turkey, much warmer climate, and my parents wanted to just move down there. And I grew up as a kind of like an atheist. I did not really question. I didn't think much about God. But now I'm turning back. I was thinking that I did not believe in God. And my father was an Alevi, like a Shiite. And my mom was a Sunni. And that basically was a really interesting dynamic. So my father's side is much more open and drinking alcohol and very loose. My mom's side is much more religious, so my mom reads Quran during her prayers and stuff like that. But my father was, normally the Alevis and Sunnis don't get married, but my father was an army officer, so that was a really coveted job back then, and have a uniform, and it's like, you know, there was this movie about Richard Gere's like a gentleman, something of a gentleman. So, you know, you look handsome in this. So this was a very important thing. So the religious situation did not matter for them. So they got married, but that obviously creates really interesting boundaries and barriers and no really faith in house. Yeah. Now, when I was 17, I have had a major mountain accident, and which I wanted to be a mountain climber during those days. I wanted to be a professional mountain climber. But you know, there is no such a thing, professional mountain climbers. You know, nobody pays for you to climb the mountains. You know, you can guide people and stuff, and maybe a few really famous climbers can do that. But so I was trying to break a few records to be able to the first guy in some of the mountains that never people climbed. That way, that I could go and do my dream and go to Himalayas and Pamirs and climb high mountains. But I have had a really bad fall, and that fall. I was almost died there, and while I was there, I kind of questioned about life and everything. And that, I got saved there physically, and then I came back to the city and started to search about God, because up in that mountain, I felt that that somehow I have been saved from there. I didn't see anything, didn't hear anything, nothing interesting, but I knew that some kind of assurance in my soul that I was not alone there. And that led me to the search about religions, Baha'is, Islam, and I was interested in candles and lights, so I was reading about Buddhism and stuff, so all the mystic stuff. But eventually I heard that there was a church and walked in there, heard the gospel, and that was the most beautiful thing I have ever heard. That everything was telling me that I'd be a good person, this and that, and they basically declared me I was a sinner, and my heart was broke. And a few days, I finished the entire New Testament and go back and talk with the pastor there again. And 3 days after I heard the gospel, I gave my life to Christ, and just wow. Christ saved me. You know?
I'm interested in the church. How big was the church? What was the pastor like? Here you walk in at what? Yeah. What did you say, 17?
This is I was 17, so it's like 18 years ago. The church is in the first church in Antalya. It still exists, and that church actually grew, and it became two different churches working together. And the pastor was his name was Ramazan. It's like it's Ramadan in English, and he was the pastor, and that was really shocking for me. The guy's name is Ramadan, and being the minister there, he was really kind and loving, and really take me. You know, as a person, and I was a young kid, really passionate, and tried to give him a hard time. So he was just very kind and humble, and so that basically it made a big impact on me. And then, so that church was exist for there already about 10 years or so in Antalya, and I become a member of that church, and start to a few years later start to full time at that church, and that kind of led me to be into. Plant my own church eventually. So.
Now you're from a fascinating place in many ways. You keep mentioning Antalya, which is mentioned in the book of Acts with one little brief reference, right?
Verse. Yeah.
In Acts 14:25, toward the end of a missionary journey there, and it's an area out of Turkey in which the Apostle Paul. And others did some really significant ministry. We read about in the New Testament. What's it like living in the Bible land, so to speak, but not being a land where people believe the Bible?
I mean, it's one of our mottos as a church and a ministry in a way that we want to bring to biblical faith to the Bible land. Mm-hmm. And it is... It's obviously no longer biblical land is dominantly is Islamic, and Turkey is the largest unreached nation per capita. For each Christian, there's about 20,000 unbelievers, and it's really interesting because people always think that like Middle Eastern or Arabic countries are the more higher percentage, but Turkey has about 4,000 believers and about 80 millions of unbelievers. But that's very nominal, obviously. It's not like everybody go to mosque. It's everybody's Muslim because they are Turk. If you're Turk, you're born Muslim. That's the nationalistic side basically declare us. So nobody is anything else. Mm-hmm. But the Western Turkey is much different than Eastern Turkey. Western Turkey has a lot of... it's very open, you know, where we live. It's lots of hotels and beaches and, you know, nightlife, Starbucks, Big Mac, skateboarding. So it's just a very Western land. People just, lots of people comes. And Antalya is one of the highest visited city in Europe. It's inexpensive for all day, but it's beautiful geographically. So that's where we are. But in the Eastern Turkey, there's more conflict there. Lots of Kurdish people lives there. And Turks and Kurds are, it's kind of like a small civil war in a sense that for years the Kurdish, there's a racism obviously. There's for years the Turkish were a stronger side, and then they oppressed the Kurds in the southeast of Turkey. For that reason, they eventually become really upset about the situation. There's no factories, no work, no social life. So eventually, it broke a fight, and now that the life in the East is much more oppressed and not enough work, and much the life in West is much more free. So East is more like Middle Eastern, I would say. The West is more like Greece, Greece and Italy in that type of atmosphere.
This is a really helpful context. So what would you say life is like as a Christian where you're at?
Well, lately it has been really hard because we have had a coup attempt a couple of years ago, and that created big problems, and emergency state is going on right now. Day-to-day life, you don't necessarily experience it, but when you become a Christian, lots of people, the families hate them, you lose your family, your friends, the people start to think you're kind of involved with some kind of sect. So it's hard. Also, finding a job, renting a house, this type of situation can be really hard. And lately, after the coup attempt and the emergency state situation, that there's a lot of people gone to the jail. And because of this emergency state situation, they are not yet taking their cases to a court. So there are some innocent people in jail for the last 2 years. They cannot even go to court judges to look at their case. So it's a bit stressful, and this is why one of the big situation about the Christians that Andrew Bronson is American minister, they put him in jail, and the case is not even properly looked after. And so the brother in Christ in jail, and they're blamed to be partnering with the radical Islamists. So it's a pretty messy situation. And our new elections coming up, so we're praying that this type of situation will be hopefully solved.
Tell us about your work, your church, your ministry in Italia. I can imagine if people are coming to faith in Christ there, as you mentioned, they have family conflict, conflict with friends. Do you find yourself counseling them in those moments a lot? Just tell us about just ministry life, where you're at.
Yeah. Lately, I would say, I think that Christianity kind of come back to Turkey. Evangelical Christianity. I mean, there has been some workers, ministry workers are coming from West, but last 30 years, it becomes much more stronger. And about 15, 20 years ago, when I would become a Christian, let's say that we were going to have some type of event, we would go out and give pamphlets and stuff like that. And that was immediately police would call us up and put the camera in our face, question us, take us to the police station and question us there hours. And now that's, we kind of learn our rules and regulations and laws, and we are, if some policeman would come, I would be able to say that, look, I know my rights, I pay the whatever tax to do this and this and that. So things are slightly different, but for the people at the church, still really stressed because of their families. In the west of Turkey, when I talk about Turkey, I'm talking about my context, obviously, in the west, southwest. Still, people are oppressed by the families. We just have two of our church members, mothers came to our church first time, and they were really upset their son coming to a church, and they were think that they've been tricked and everything. So they started to come, and the one of the lady, first time she came, she loved the church more than her son. She was just there enjoying it, but we could it take long time for to invite her in there, and when she came and she felt so loved and care. So we try to help and care for those people, and some of them obviously much harder. They're younger kids, they want to come to church, their family physically abuse them, or sometimes just general family situation. I'm married to my wife Buse for 13 years, and I still have not met with her brother. And some of her family members didn't come to our wedding. So some of our friends didn't come, previous friends, before we were Christians and stuff. So it can be very depressing, stressful, and lonely. So we are basically trying to learn how to deal with those situations. But I think that there's a positive side of it, that we are going to go to sufferings, and that is what is being called in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's not might happen, it will happen. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, that people need to know that that's not a curse. It's a, you know, Philippians, I think, first chapter, end of first chapter, talking about that those sufferings granted to you, mm-hmm. that it's, if you see it as a curse, not as a blessing, not as the God is the sovereign overall, mm-hmm. then I think that we can end up just majorly in different path. And mm-hmm. then you become really stressed and lonely, and you feel that God has left you alone. So I think that God is teaching us through these hardships and strengthening us. And okay, I mean, it's in a way, it's a gift that God has granted to us, but it's not really a gift that, it's like a, you know, I always said that, you know, somebody, it's almost like somebody get you a pet with two legs broken or something like that. What kind of gift is that? Like, you know, it's just, so you need to deal with that. You need to take care of that. There's a great side of it, but it's a hurtful side of it. So really, it's really important for our people to, not just us, but those suffering, see that God has been care and love and still in control and already told us that we've been going through that. So it's very, in that sense, we're really trying hard to be able to care for our brothers and sisters when they go through that. You know, we are there for them.
Amen. Tell us about how you got involved in church planting. And I'm also interested in your wife's role in the church plant, just in ministry. What does that look like?
Well, we went to Canada in 2006 and come back in 2009, studied there at Bible College, and come back in 2009 with the heart of planting a church. And we were involving International Church in Antalya. And there was a brother, American brother, who I started to help him in teach him Turkish. And he was really interested in planting a church. And we were, so we basically jump in together, and our pastor at the International Church supports us, and we in a way blindly just jump in too quickly without praying and taking time. So I always wanted to start a church, not just this one, churches in Turkey. So we started in February 2010. We just rented the place and invite everybody, launch the church. And then we start to pray. So we did the order wrong, in a sense. So we didn't start to pray and study and spend time like a year and get to know us, build a core team. We didn't do all those. We just rent it and go for it. So it was the hard times, and very small people come back. But eventually God has take it off from there. And we were planning to do an art gallery. I'm really into art. So we were thinking maybe during the week we're going to have an art gallery, and Sundays we're going to invite the church. But first couple of weeks when people start to come, we're like, okay, let's not think about the art gallery. Let's just preach the gospel. But this type of method is really helpful to invite people in, sometimes coffee shops and, I don't know, art galleries, etc., some events. So that's how we started. And my wife was a crucial part of that, and she has been the rock for me. Obviously, she's really faithful, really humble woman, and I'm really privileged to have a wife like her. And she's been there from all the way, start to be supporting me, and the times that's hard times, and still there, just the encouraging. Just before again, start to you talking to podcast, she was encouraging me and everything. So she's doing a lot of she's dealing with the kids at our church, as well as kitchen ministry and helping the ladies and stuff like that. We have much less ladies in our church and more men, and so she is pretty much there for everything. So she has a great general view of things and handling things. So she's there early at the church, making sure that the service is going to get ready, foods are ready, and everybody's there. New people are welcomed and cared and invited in. And right after the church, she's there to serve us. And during 2 weeks, obviously, we have two kids, and she's busy with them. but also she's a really servant-hearted. We do a lot of our meetings at our place, so she's very hospitable to our church members. So it's very important.
Amen. Give us a feel for Sunday mornings. What is that? What's that like? You mentioned the male dominated or majority male.
Yeah.
What else? How many are there? When do you meet? What's music like? How do you preach?
Yeah.
Is your preaching any good? Just share with us what a typical. I assume you meet on Sunday.
Yes, we do meet on Sunday. We meet on late afternoons. So. Well, Turkish people love sleeping and loves more sleeping. So. So we started our services 8 years ago, and it was 10 o'clock. Then we moved to 11. Then the younger university kid says, wow, it's just so early, it's 11. And so I used to remember back in Canada, my church started like 8:30 or something. That's just, who would start at 8:30? And I'm going to still America. Sometimes they have a meeting at 6 a.m. Before the day start, they do some type of leadership development. 6 a.m., you know, that's just not even an understandard life for us. So we did it during the lunchtime type of thing. Then it becomes a problem for the families. The time, it was good, but some of the kids were sleeping during the break. So now we're moving at 4 o'clock. So... obviously, as a family, we worship in the morning and we spend time in Sundays. Pray together, enjoy breakfast together, and rest that day. And in the afternoon, we gather together. And that way that university students were able to wake up and come to service. We actually moved into a new facility. We are in downtown Antalya, and the fifth floor of one of the business building. And we used to be in third floor. We have had a much smaller facility. Now our facility doubled the size. So we have, when you enter them, we have a welcoming place. It used to be you would walk into directly a church sanctuary, which is really awkward in Turkish culture. You invite that person who's a Muslim and always watching these Christian movies. It's just really intense situation for that person. And they walk into the sanctuary with a cross up there. So now that we have actually welcoming room, nice couch, coffee, so they get to know us first before they actually join into the church service. We always have police protection on Sundays and Wednesday nights. I have had death threats and some news about the papers and stuff like that, so we are privileged to have a police protection, and most of Turkish churches don't have that. So those police always wait in this gathering room before the sanctuary, basically. So people come, we gather at 4 p.m. sharp, because I'm a son of an army officer, so it's not like a general Turkish church that would say that 11 a.m. it's a start and 2 p.m. So we have a piano and one piano player from American lady, and she's she and her husband. Really important part of our ministries. We use some of the modern songs to the Turkish and some of the psalms gathered together, confess our sins and start to worship together with a few songs. Then we would have a prayer time and pray for our country, our needs and needs of our church members. We have a little catechism study time. We have a collected reading together from there. And then I would preach the word, and we do often expository preaching, and we're going through the sermon series on Nehemiah right now. It's really, really encouraging. It has been for our church. But we also, when we have visitors comes, we kind of created this new sermon series, Healthy Church. So sometimes my friends from West comes, pastor friends, and we asked them if they would preach on the Healthy Church, that what they could help us, what could we learn from West to be able to do that. After the sermons, once a month we have a Lord's Supper and a few more songs, and then leave with the benediction. And right after the church, we gather together, eat all together, spend a couple of hours, encourage one another. And that's how our Sundays look like.
Now you mentioned the sermon series Healthy Church, what you might learn from guys from the West. What might guys from the West learn from guys from the East? What is your church and your context and other churches like you? Why should we pay attention and listen and try to learn?
Well, obviously, we are learning a lot from the Western Church. We are in Asia Minor, but the Christianity come from West to us. So many things we learn. But so many things that it's also come with the baggage. Certain things are not fit to the Turkish culture. Often the American workers come and that's a positive and negative effects. Mm. We have very gospel-centered people and loves the word and try to find the best balance with the word coming to the church, but it should be a Turkish-speaking, culturally Turkish church. And that's not always easy because often that we have a lot of people just wanted to come to land, but they're not well trained and they're not sent by their churches. And often that some of the people who would not be able to be ministered back in US, they're sent to us. Mm-hmm. Well, if you cannot be ministered in your own context, in your own language, it will be much harder for you to come to Turkey and learn language and be involved with that. So that would be one sense that, but that's not necessarily Western church, but Western people coming to Ireland. But when I visit West, specifically talking about North America, I see a lot of, I can sense the racism. I don't want to go too much on that I don't know about it. I don't want to create any confusion, anything like that. But I can see that tension, not just between the colors, but also between the churches. So a church, there's a two church right beside each other buildings. They don't even know each other. That'd be very normal for in America. That'll be shocking for us. Because in Turkey, you have a handful of Christians. And when you walk in the streets, if you see another Christian, it's like a miracle happened, like the angels are all around you. It's like, wow, look at that. We just, two Christians here, already percentage of this neighborhood is just more Christians, you know? So it's just such an exciting thing for us to be able to see brothers and sisters in the streets. But in America, that culture of the churches loving and caring with each other is not strong as I would expect. Also, the celebrity pastor and leadership thing is, you know, like I was in North America 10 years ago. Honestly, this thing is just climbing up lately much more. During that time, I could see that all this exciting pastors coming up, with few of them become like a stars and all that. And I think that's really sad, and I don't know how the church will deal with that. But it becomes hurts the church, and the life there obviously is much easy, and it's much loose and much slow. People are, it's almost like people are panicking in Middle East in a sense. So often that when I go to America, I feel that people are actually feel like, I don't want to say this in wrong, but they actually feel like it is their right to be living that way. Mm. They don't, you know, how would you say, they take it for granted to the life around them. They almost feel like we deserve that. Mm. And I don't know if that there's any kind of theological background in there that people see, hey, we are Americans, so of course we need to do that. But people in the East don't feel that way. If they're given something, it's not necessarily privileged. So that obviously can create theological issues if you start to feel that you are actually deserve what you are giving, but not, it's not a grace. It'll take you to the totally wrong path. So I don't know if that answers your question, but those are the things that I often see in America, and kind of really shock with it. But the truth is that here's the major truth. I often heard American pastors preaching this when I go there. They always talk, you know, the faith in West is shallow and was big, and then they talk about the faith in East are strong but very small church in there. That's not true. But faith in East is shallow as well. So, and they try to put a guilt to their church to say that, look at guys, how blessed you are and where your soul is. And look at the Eastern brothers going through the death threats. And what a faithful people are. They are not. You know, they are not. I can tell you that. Lots of people struggling deeply. Specifically, we're not grow in the rooted Christian faith that American does. And I go to America. I met with a guy in the street. He's not even a Christian. He'd be an elder in Turkey, you know? It's just like he's such a normal, quality man. He knows what to talk, how to talk. Like, there's already these rooted things that American takes for granted, that actually the Christian culture was there. Your mothers, your fathers, grandparents, that you actually take it without you actually realizing it. So that's an important part that's kind of I see in American culture. So there are lots of positive things, obviously, that you ask kind of the things what you guys can learn from us. But we are learning so much from you guys and theology and humility and love and care and helping serving one another. So this is the something that I kind of try to find out what are the things that would Wes would benefit from us.
It's good, man. It's good. Why did you join Acts 29, and what is your role?
I joined, well, after we started our plans with our church, we have had a break with our other pastor, and I find myself trying to minister a handful of people that I don't even know what I was doing, and I was trying to plan something, and I needed the help. And people were around me, and I wanted to learn. I heard about X29 when I was in Canada, and so after I come and planted church, and after that problems, I thought, okay, I need some people around me to help me out and guide me on those things, and which I'm still really feel blessed that those people still around me, because the church is pretty much the same situation. Still, in we are a baby church, and we are still struggling. We are still lonely and still oppressed in certain ways. So I kind of try to I try to reach somebody there. Get in touch with few people. But back then it was X29 was America and Western Europe. There was nothing in Middle East, and I was just, you know, sent my family picture, this and that. I was this dark-skinned, terrorist-look-like guy. And so I was not really, people were not really excited to invite me to the conference at first. It was like, you know, you get some of those mails from Africa. They're telling you they got like $5 million, and, you know, they would tell that, how could we get this money to you and stuff like that. So they were getting this mail from this Middle Eastern dude, and he wanted to be involved with them. So I was like, it's not really a great picture there. But I started to get in touch and encourage them, and it was already not global. Nobody was there. They eventually me invited one of the conference. I think it was 2011 or so, or 2012, and I started to meet with people there, and the church, A29 becomes a more and more involved with Europe, and you know, there was things are changing, and it becomes a much more healthy leadership in a sense, and then they wanted to be involved in the world globally. So I basically get in touch with them and go through the process with my wife, and eventually become the pastor there, and the leader, the member there, and that leads into putting me in the position of becoming one of the guys in the network leadership team, and I become one of the guy at the, one of the leaders in my region. So I now I'm the X29 director for Turkey, and that basically slowly opened the doors for next guys to be hear about X29. So my pastor's friend, I bring them and encourage them and try to talk to them. So I basically 3-4 years by myself coming to 8-9 conferences, and just this week in Belgrade I have had 15 people coming from Turkey, so serving along with them. So it's really, really privilege.
Your testimony is so encouraging, brother. I'm always encouraged by our interactions together. Look forward to interactions in the future, Lord willing. Maybe that tour of the seven churches
that'd be wonderful.
We can do sometime. How can the listeners keep up with you?
Well, I'm I have a church, obviously, it's a local church that I'm ministering, but I'm doing a few other ministries, 829, I'm director, so I'm trying to reach and be contacted with all the pastors that Gospel Center, complementarian people, loving the Lord, want to preach the gospel. So through our ministries, we are kind of reaching them. And we have one ministry called Via Christus Ministries, where we reach the pastors, and we provide them a biblical education, which we call an academy, twice a year for 1 week long. We have publication, books, and stuff like that. So all those ministries are combined. We also have a Syrian refugee ministry, which we bring aid. So all these ministries are combined under websites where people can reach me, or if they would love to hear more churches from Turkey where they can involve. So our website is reachturkey.net. And if people likes to hear more updates, we have blog in Reach Turkey. And updates are academies, publications, our church ministries, refugee aid, and obviously those people who wanted to reach Turkey, we are contacted with all those gospel-centered churches and pastors who are humble and growing their faiths and help serving the churches. So I'm not just ministry in Antalya, but I'm also a man that would really wanted to see the gospel flourishes in Turkey and many, many more churches planted. Mm.
ReachTurkey.net. Kerem, thank you so much for taking time to be on our podcast. And if you're listening right now, maybe you could just offer a prayer for our brother. And I just pray the Lord would be gracious to you, make his face shine upon you, and his saving power may be known all across Turkey.
Thank you.